The following podcast contains a lot of explicit language.
My name is Dawson Ludwig, and I'm here with our producer, Casey Newland, who you heard at the very top.
Hey, Dawson.
And we're digging into a pretty silly yet provocative topic, musical beefs.
Right, where bands publicly air their dirty laundry.
Yeah, and actually the modern music scene is full of them, in large part because the Pitchforks of the world and Stereogums of the world love to talk about lifestyle of these bands more than the music, but that's a whole other conversation.
Because people click on it.
Absolutely. So this is an episode we've actually been sitting on for a while, but we've been waiting for the right moment. And fortunately, the right moment hit us a couple weeks ago in the form of our good friend, The Cause.
Mark Kozelek.
Right.
And the War on Drugs. It all started this summer when these two acts were playing the same festival at the same time, and Mark Kozelek's acoustic playing was being drowned out by the full band sound of the War on Drugs. And Kozelek stopped his show and asked the audience who was playing, and someone told him, and Koz said, "This next song is called War on Drugs, Suck My Cock."
Right, and so he wrote and released a song that's literally called War on Drugs, Suck My Cock, and we're going to play it. And the great thing about this song, well, I think it's great. Casey, I know that you're not a huge fan.
Yeah, I almost didn't want to play this song because I feel like it's just fueling his assholery. But
right.
It's like the perfect over-the-top ridiculous beef. So
right. Well, and it's also, as you were mentioning earlier about clickbait, it's also complete pandering to the clickbait nature of the music blogs that were fueling this. So it actually all started earlier this summer when Mark Kozelek played a show in Chapel Hill and the crowd was being loud, and he stopped the show and told that hillbilly crowd to shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Which, and he also refers to in this song, which
exactly.
Is kind of interesting.
So this whole song is just him sort of like summarizing the past 3 months of him being, you know, sort of ornery and music blogs loving it and him just feeding it and giving it to them. And I feel like that's exactly what he gave us here, is this sort of like, all right, fine, you want this? I'll write an entire song for you.
Yeah, but then hating on the music blogs at the same time, too. He's
exactly.
Just hating on everyone.
Yeah. So let's listen to it. I actually legitimately think this is a great song by itself, let alone the subject matter.
Get ready. This is Mark Kozelek, War on Drugs, Suck My Cock.
We were up on stage, I heard a classic drum fill. Blasting 100 decibels over the hill. It was getting pretty loud, I asked who it was. A guy in a raincoat shouted back the called War on Drugs. It sounded like a basic John Fogerty rock. I said, "This next song is called The War on Drugs, can suck my cock. Suck my cock, war on drugs, 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 suck my cock." We were playing a show down in Chapel Hill to a bunch of drunk hillbillies, and it smelled like swill. The microphones didn't work, the staff couldn't give a fuck. The crowd was getting out of hand, and I told them all to shut the fuck up. All you rednecks, 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 shut the fuck up. Someone got offended and wrote a piece of crap. Some spoiled bitch, rich kid, blogger, brat. Posted some graffiti done by some half-wit. I thought my actual name was Sun Kill Moon. What a dumb shit. Sun Kill Moon, go fuck yourself. Sun Kill Moon, go fuck yourself. Sun Kill Moon, go fuck yourself. Go Sun Kill Moon, 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 go fuck yourself. Go Sun Kill Moon, go fuck yourself. Go Sun Kill Moon, go fuck yourself. I met War on Drugs tonight and they're pretty nice. But their hair's long and greasy, hope they don't have lice. I heard them do their sound check, and next to the Birds, they're definitely the whitest band I've ever fucking heard. The whitest band I've ever heard is War on Drugs. The whitest band I've ever heard is War on Drugs. The whitest band I've ever heard is War on Drugs. The whitest band I've ever heard is War on Drugs. The whitest band I've ever heard is War on Drugs. The whitest band I've ever heard is War on Drugs. The whitest band I've ever heard is War on Drugs. The whitest band I've ever heard is War on Drugs.
Then there's more.
That was Mark Kozelek with War on Drugs, Suck My Cock. And it's worth pointing out that War on Drugs are basically innocent bystanders in this whole thing. They even tweeted that this sucks because they're actually big fans of his.
I know.
It's really, so sad.
That is sad. It's unfortunate. In the office today, I listened to some Mark Kozelek track because of this episode. And then I, equally to balance it out, listened to some War on Drugs. So we're going to move on to a less cynical beef that happened earlier this year. Big Sean had a song called Control, and Kendrick Lamar contributed a verse that was known as the verse heard round the world. It was really spectacular.
Yeah, and it was basically like a call to arms and called out a bunch of other rappers by name. And, well, he called himself the King of New York, basically implying, I'm the best in the game right now, and everyone
else.
Even
though he's from L.A., which is so rich.
Which is perfect, yeah. And basically, everyone else needs to step it up and bring back hip-hop to where it was in the Tupac and Biggie days.
Yeah, it's a really aggressive verse, and the fact that he points out several people by name. I mean, he says, Jermaine Cole, Big Crit, Wale, Pusha T, Meek Mill, A$AP Rocky, Drake, Big Sean. Just, he goes on. And he says, I got love for you, but I'm trying to murder you and make sure that your core fans have never heard of you. So we're going to play a little bit of it, just the Kendrick Lamar verse. It's really spectacular. This is Control.
I heard the barbershops being great debates all the time about who's the best MC, Kendrick, Jigga, and Nas. Eminem, Andre 3000, the rest of y'all. New niggas, just new niggas, don't get involved. And I ain't rocking no more designer shit. White tees and Nike Cortez, this red Corvette's synonymous. I'm usually homeboys with the same niggas I'm rhyming with. But this is hip-hop and them niggas should know what time it is. And that goes for Jermaine Cole, Big Crit, Wale, Pusha T, Meek Mills, A$AP Rocky, Drake, Big Sean, J Electron, Tyler McMillan. I got love for you all, but I'm trying to murder you niggas. Trying to make sure your core fans never heard of you niggas. They don't want to hear not one more noun or verb from you niggas. What is competition? I'm trying to raise the bar high. Who's trying to jump and get it? You're a better off trying to skydive out the exit window with 5G5s with 5 grand with your granddad as the pilot. He drunk as fuck trying to land with a handful of Arthur Riders and popping prosthetic leg, bumping Pac in the cockpit. So the shit that pops in his head is an option of violence. Someone heard the story. It is said that your parachute is a latex condom hooked to a dread.
That was a portion of Control by Big Sean, which I love that it's a Big Sean track, and yet Kendrick Lamar definitely got all the attention for it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Kendrick Lamar even calls out Big Sean himself in the song.
That's true. It's so good. I also love the fact that this so-called call to arms actually worked. It sparked a slew of responses online, rappers all over the world, many of which were hurt that they weren't included by name in the song.
I love that.
I know. But others, like Meek Mill, who was called out by name, found some holes in Kendrick's logic. In the verse, Kendrick says, I'm trying to make sure all of your fans don't hear one more verb or noun from you. So Meek Mill responded on Twitter. He's like, okay, then I'm going to come at you with the wildest adjective bars that anyone's ever heard, which I love. The whole thing, like, it just created this really rich dialogue that was somewhat controversial, but ultimately it was a catalyst for fantastic music and the reemergence of classic hip-hop origins.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's what hip-hop's all about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it so great.
Yeah.
So for our next beef, we've got another artist who also likes to talk a big game and stir the pot, and that is Jack White. He definitely has a short temper and has started feuds and even gotten into bar brawls with a lot of fellow rockers.
Yeah, he even beat up the Von Bondi singer at a Detroit club. They were one of my favorite bands in the 2000s.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my ringtone in college.
Wow. If you look at the pictures of the Von Bondi singer after this fight, you can tell who won.
It's rough.
Yeah, he's a poor guy. Oof. So let's listen to their best track, Come On, Come On.
The Von Bondis. Jack White also made some accusatory statements in his Rolling Stone interview a few weeks back about everyone from the Black Keys to Adele to even Meg White.
Yeah, and didn't he apologize?
Yeah, he did later apologize.
Right. You know, but Jack White isn't actually the only one who throws stones. One of the best Spoon tracks out there, Small Stakes, off of Kill the Moonlight, throws a little bit of jab at Jack White at the time. I think it was 2002, and Britt Daniels says, "I don't dig the stripes, but I go for Harmar."
Oh, yeah.
And so obviously he's talking about the White Stripes, and he's basically just saying he would prefer to listen to Harmar Superstar over the White Stripes. And it's just a really quick phrase. You'd miss it if you weren't listening for it. But here it is.
A small town danger in your mid-sized car. I don't dig the stripes, but I'll go for Harmar. The big elevation on the minimum wage is lines up your nose, but your life on the page. So come on, tell me you're wrong.
It's also worth noting that in a Rolling Stone interview, Britt Daniel himself said that he didn't start liking the White Stripes until their 2003 release, Elephant.
So everyone comes around after their Rolling Stone interview.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, love him or hate him, Jack White certainly knows how to write a solid rock and roll song. Here's the man himself with the title track from his latest album, Lazaretto.
My veins are blue and connected. Every single bone in my brain is electric. But I dig bitches like the best of them. You're trouble. Yeah.
That was Jack White. And next we have what I like to call a fake beef.
Yeah, a vegan black bean burger beef.
Exactly. And that's when comments are taken out of context or things are blown completely out of proportion. And this seems to happen disproportionately with women because the media, it's just constantly trying to pit women against each other and make them seem catty and in some cat fight that doesn't actually even exist.
Right.
So in this case, it's between Warpaint and Beyoncé.
Yeah, so the story is that Teresa, the lead singer of Warpaint, she was given an interview to Q Magazine, and she, as a consumer of media, expressed opinions in the interview specifically about Beyoncé. She praised her, but also in the same breath criticized her for how sexualized she was on her latest record. She also made a comment about Rihanna, about how she had such a unique voice, but she'd wish she'd do something that was a little more artistic with it.
Yeah, and that's all it took for it to be deemed a full-fledged lady battle, according to the blogs. But Warpaint quickly clarified their statement, saying, "What I was referring to specifically was my take on the video clip for Superpower, where I felt her role in that clip undermined the song. That's pretty much it. As a fan, I was confused with her choice to sexualize herself in that particular moment."
Yeah, it was a mountain out of a molehill, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So let's clean our palate for a second and listen to a track off of Warpaint's latest record. This is Keep It Healthy.
I'm not afraid to die.
That was Warpaint's Keep It Healthy. So, you know a musical beef is epic when it's the subject of an entire documentary. The 2004 film Dig tells the story of the Dandy Warhols and the Brian Jonestown Massacre, two 90s psychedelic bands who were close friends and collaborators. But then things got a little tense when the Dandy Warhols started gaining a lot of success and fame, while BJM and its painfully talented mastermind, Anton Newcombe, were still really struggling with a lot of internal band drama, drugs, and definitely an absence of much recognition. The Dandy Warhols wrote a song, with playful intentions, called Not If You Were the Last Junkie on Earth, which did not go over well with Brian Jonestown Massacre, who then came out with a song of their own, a little more straightforwardly titled Not If You Were the Last Dandy on Earth. But I'm going to give it to BJM on this one because I really love this song. Here it is, Brian Jonestown Massacre with Not If You Were the Last Dandy on Earth.
We're going to dig into a fresh fight that happened over a landmine of a topic, cultural appropriation. Real quickly, Taylor Swift created a music video for her lead single, Shake It Off, that featured black women twerking. And while it was clearly an attempt to be funny, it offended several people, including the rapper Earl Sweatshirt, who took to Twitter and said, "I haven't watched the Taylor Swift video, and I don't need to watch it to tell you that it's inherently offensive and ultimately harmful." He's got a great point. So let's listen really quickly to the amazing remix of that song, Shake It Off. Full disclosure, I may have brought up this entire incident strictly to play this remix. It is so good.
I go on too many dates, but I can't make them stay. At least that's what people say. Shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. Lord, bring it on, break, 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 break.
Next is an incident that happened several years ago between Flaming Lips and Arcade Fire, but it still holds weight today. So in 2009, Flaming Lips lead singer Wayne Coyne told Rolling Stone, and noticing a trend here with Rolling Stone,
yeah,
that he likes Arcade Fire and he's a fan of them, but on another level, he gets really tired of their pompousness. Quote, "We've played some shows with them and they really treat people like shit. Whenever I've been around them, I've found that they not only treat their crew like shit, they treat their audience like shit. They treat everybody in the vicinity like shit."
Dang.
Ooh.
Wayne, of course, went on to apologize, but then cut to 4 years later, and he's back on the heels of Arcade Fire's Reflector release, saying, quote, "I think Arcade Fire connecting up with James Murphy felt like two artists getting together and saying, let's make something important. I don't really listen to Arcade Fire on purpose. It's just not my trip."
Yeah, he's got something for Arcade Fire.
Yeah, he's got something for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. So let's listen to the Flaming Lips and their battle anthem, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots.
She's a black belt in karate, working for the city. She has to discipline her body, 'cause she knows that it's demand. She knows that
was The Flaming Lips. It's hard to know sometimes whose side to be on, especially when both artists have such affable public personas. But surprisingly, that wasn't the only beef Arcade Fire was involved in this year. They had a run-in with Deadmau5 too. During their set at Coachella, Wynn Butler shouted out to, quote, all the bands still playing actual instruments, and Deadmau5 seemed to take it personally when he went on a Twitter tirade that included lines like, quote, if I want to watch real artists perform, I'd pick the opera before wasting a fucking minute of my life with Arcade Fire.
However, it may be fair to say that Arcade Fire got the last laugh on this. At a show, shortly after, they responded by flashing Deadmau5's signature mouse head on stage during the song Normal Person while they performed it, which is actually the song that we're going to take you guys out on.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
This monitors are a little bit high. Thank you guys so much for coming. Sorry about that. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Yeah.
Strangers. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Noise Pop Podcast. Remember to subscribe through iTunes, and the next episode will automatically be delivered to you after it's released. And while you're there, leave a comment to let us know what you think. You can stream us online at kqed.org/noisepop or stream us from your smartphone through the Stitcher iPhone and Android app. Contact the podcast by phone through our hotline 585-4NOISE5. That's 585-466-4735. You can also email us at podcast@noisepop.org.